It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood.
Doesn't feel like a beautiful day in the neighborhood, really. Murders, suicide bombings, sniper attacks, people targeted because of their skin color, their religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, what kind of job they have. Hate upon hate upon hate. I know Mr. Rogers talked about what to do when we see tragedy. He said to look for the helpers. And I just don't want there to be any more need of the helpers in the face of awful violence, this hateful violence. And I know Mr. Rogers didn't work that way. He didn't reach this point where he said, oh, don't help. I started to watch Mr. Rogers probably 6 months after I started watching television. At first, I watched I Love Lucy and the Beverly Hillbillies. There were reruns on. But as soon as Mr. Rogers appeared on Channel 11 in Chicago, I was hooked. And I also watched Sesame Street, but I have this special place in my heart for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So much so that when I was ordained as a minister, I invited Fred to my ordination. He didn't come. But his office called my house, talked to Cassie, who was my wife then, and he sent a letter. I've got it outside on the table out there, the letter that he sent in 1998, signed with his handwriting and written on the bottom, Charis Kai Irene, grace and peace. I learned a lot from Mr. Rogers. I did learn. I learned that everyone was important. I learned that the way a person dresses or how much money they have doesn't make them special. Everyone's special because everyone is unique. And I know that that doesn't always make sense. How can everyone be unique? Well, whatever that is. I learned that it's possible to stop doing something that you know is wrong. And I learned that unconditional love really does exist. And we are living in a world where hate and violence and murder are present and too close. And hope and kindness and things that are pleasant, they're also here and nearby, but they seem so far away so often. And in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood of make-believe, things were mostly pleasant, right? But not always. In the Neighborhood of make-believe, there were daily problems that needed to be addressed. Someone was sad. Someone was feeling left out. Someone was thinking that they were more important than everyone else. Or someone had done something that they needed to apologize for. Or someone needed just help. Someone needed a friend. In this morning's Bible reading, there's a lawyer. And the lawyer showed that he understood what Jesus was trying to communicate, that we are to love God and to love our neighbor. But then, he's a lawyer, he needs clarification. This neighbor, who is that? And Jesus told the most often told parable in the Bible, the parable of the Good Samaritan. So who was the neighbor to the man who was beaten and robbed and left for dead? Was it the priest? No. Was it the Levite? Priests and Levites both worked in the temple. The priests who had to be Levites were authorized to perform sacrifices in the temple. Levites were kind of like in training for that. They were like the elders, deacons, assistants, musicians, movers, repairmen. They did all that. And both were required to do good deeds and to care for those who were hurt. That was part of their calling. It was part of what the scripture said they had to do as priests and Levites, and they didn't. But no, it was the Samaritan, the least likely person to do anything good, according to the thoughts of the ones hearing the parable. When Jesus talked about a Samaritan, they would have gotten a hands-off feeling. Might have well said the terrorist helped the person who was beaten. To the world at the time, Jesus was the outcast who was reaching out to help those who needed it. The church was turning a blind eye to the plight of the injured, the sick, and the poor. And Jesus told that in the parable. And words like that could get you in trouble. And guess what? They did. I'm so glad we still have those words, though. Ones that we easily recite and pat ourselves on the back for being people who reach out and help others in need. And we also live with hate. That's how we operate too. As much as we don't want to say it, we operate that way. We act out of fear of the other. We act out of a desire for revenge. We act out of a mentality that some are less than others, and their rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are less important than ours. When instead we could support one another in times of tragedy and stop playing games that demonize and marginalize anyone. A parable of the Good Samaritan is one that describes God's neighborhood as it should be. It shows how it shouldn't be too, but God's neighborhood is the one where everyone's important, right? It's where, well, the way a person dresses or how much money they have doesn't make them special. This sounds like Mr. Rogers. The fact that they're a child of God makes them special. God's neighborhood is one where you can stop doing what's wrong. God's neighborhood is one where unconditional love really exists. And there's more. God's neighborhood is where there is true peace. Not the peace that's only the absence of bombs or war. Not the peace that's brought on by surrender to a stronger force. The peace that comes from fear to step out of line or be punished. It's the kind of peace where everyone recognizes, respects, attends to, and loves one another. Peace is where we recognize the diversity of our skin colors, our lifestyles, our beliefs, our gender, our sexual orientation, religions, income, jobs, preferences, needs. And we don't just accept those things, but we celebrate them in true peace, in love, in kindness, more than acceptance, in celebration of one another. Every person in creation is part of God's neighborhood. Every person is a child of God. Every person is unconditionally loved. Every person. So let's talk about St. Paul's. We have a part in God's neighborhood. It's a small part. In our little part of the neighborhood, we do many things that are necessary for us to do as people in God's neighborhood. We reach out to others in need. We're friendly and welcoming to at least many. But, you know, we're missing. We're missing something. We aren't always what I would call a friendly congregation. We're cordial, we're polite. Some of us are overly friendly and others, well, not so much. We don't have that kind of outgoing kindness that makes people feel at home when they walk in the door. Sometimes we do, but often we don't. We don't have the come as you are and you're welcome here vibe, even though we try, I know. Here's what we have. We have more of a, this is my church, and I love to see my friends vibe. And sometimes we do act as if the church is our church, and unless it and everyone who attends meets all of our preferences or follows the rules we want, then it's just not right. We do that. In God's neighborhood, it's not exclusive. Either purposefully or unintendedly, if that's a word. Unintendedly? I guess so. So we have a question in front of us. Do we want to mirror our little part of the neighborhood to what God's neighborhood is like? Then we need to actively reach out to all people, the outcast and the popular, the rich and the poor, the healthy and the sick. We need to welcome people with an authentic, warm, and ongoing kindness that comes as close to God's unconditional love as is humanly possible. We need to remember that the church isn't our exclusive club. We need to live out the peace that passes all understanding. Unlimited peace, unlimited love. Unlimited capacity for welcoming, accepting, attending to, celebrating. In God's neighborhood, people who are uncomfortable with each other are all children of God. People who have different political and social ideas are all children of God. People who are fun to be around and people who are irritating to be around are all children of God. There's nothing make-believe about that at all. So, my brothers and sisters, let's open doors. Let's invite the people. Let's welcome everyone with an overwhelming kindness and celebrate that we are all God's children. Let's make sure that we're caring neighbors. Amen.